Hello, I'm Dr. Jason Izard, Associate Professor of Urology and Oncology at Queen's University and Kingston Health Sciences Center. We attended the 2021 European Society of Medical Oncology annual meeting virtually from September 16th to September 21st of 2021. I'm here with Dr. Ali Khan Lalani, who's an assistant professor at McMaster University and GU medical oncologist at Jurvinsky Cancer Center, who's going to present to us some of the highlights of a very interesting abstract at the meeting. Dr. Lalani.
Thanks, Dr. Izard, for that introduction. And the focus of my presentation will be the PEACE 1, the highly anticipated study, which was a plenary at ESMO 2021. This is a phase 3 trial with a 2x2 factorial design in men with de novo metastatic castrate-sensitive prostate cancer. And this presentation was regarding the overall survival with abiraterone plus prednisone. So this is the study design of PEACE 1. As you'll see on the left, the key eligibility criteria were men with de novo metastatic CSPC. Patients required to be on androgen deprivation therapy, and this was allowed up to 3 months prior. Patients were stratified by performance status, metastatic site, type of castration, and receipt of chemotherapy. These men were largely enrolled from November 2013 to December 2018 and were randomized 1:1:1 in 4 different arms, the standard of care plus abiraterone, standard of care plus radiotherapy, or standard of care plus abiraterone and radiotherapy. Now, there's a couple of key points here. We are going to be discussing the standard of care and abiraterone groups, and we'll explain why that was felt to be pulled together. For those interested in how radiation was delivered, this is listed below after chemotherapy was complete. This is the baseline characteristics for the population. Again, a reminder, all patients here received chemotherapy. The control arm and interventional arm may have received radiation. That's not the focus of today's discussion, but the interventional arm additionally received abiraterone. These were men who were largely in their mid-60s, of good performance status. The metastatic sites are listed there, and I'll just point out that nearly a third of men had low volume metastatic burden, and the remainder had high volume disease. Now, as mentioned, you recall that there were 4 arms in this study. The investigators found that there was no interaction between radiotherapy and abiraterone on the effects for survival, and therefore this allowed the 2 abiraterone arms to be pulled together for analysis. The assumptions are listed there. For overall survival, there were about 272 events at the last cutoff. Median follow-up was 3.8 years in the arm receiving ADT plus docetaxel plus or minus radiation. And longer follow-up is really needed to assess the role of radiation in these patients. So here are the top line results, firstly listing the radiographic progression-free survival. This is broken down by volume status, and you'll see on the left, for the men with high volume disease, the addition of abiraterone beyond the standard of care, which included docetaxel, led to an improvement in RPFS of 4.1 years versus 1.6 years. This led to a hazard ratio of 0.47, a significant p-value as well. So clearly there was a very significant improvement in RPFS for this patient population. And interestingly, on the right as well, these are the low volume patients. And while medians were not reached yet for the interventional arm with abiraterone, and given the event rates that are listed at around 41 and 55 respectively, the hazard ratio is still 0.58 with a p-value of 2.06. And so essentially the benefit of adding abiraterone in terms of RPFS is seen regardless of metastatic burden. This is the highly anticipated data for the overall survival curves. You can see that the addition of abiraterone for this population led to a 25% reduction in the risk of death, corresponding to a hazard ratio of 0.75. Of note, the median time to abiraterone discontinuation in this group was just under 3 years. One of the questions we'll want to know is, is this benefit felt irrespective of volume? And so importantly, you'll see on the left here, patients with high volume disease were found to have a median overall survival by adding abiraterone in this setting of 5.1 years versus 3.5 years. That's a significant improvement with a hazard ratio of 0.72. So essentially in men with high volume disease, the risk of death was reduced by about 28%. On the right, you'll see the data for the low volume patient, and a couple of things to point out. There's a fairly limited number of event rates, as you might expect for this type of patient population. The hazard ratio here is 0.83 with confidence intervals that cross one. And so therefore, I think it's safe to say that benefit, if it is seen, is certainly not seen yet. And these are largely overlapping curves at this follow-up. One of the questions then is, was there any subgroup that appeared to benefit more or less? And you can see all the point estimates by receipt of radiotherapy, performance status, type of castration, and even including metastatic burden had point estimates to the left of unity. But as I just showed you, the confidence interval for the low volume patient really crosses one. And so that benefit, I don't think is very clear, but otherwise the survival benefit was fairly consistent by subgroups at this time. One of the questions we wonder about is, what is the really cost to the patient in terms of toxicity? And what did they receive subsequent to the interventions here when we're trying to contextualize overall survival benefit? So on the left, you can see that, you know, essentially the patients who received the standard of care arm had around 81% receiving a next generation hormonal therapy. Overall, about half of the patients received treatment with cabazitaxel. So I think this would be seen as a fairly reasonable subsequent line therapy in a potentially real world setting. On the right, we'll see the toxicity. And I think it's fairly understood that because both arms received chemotherapy, the neutropenia and febrile neutropenia rate would be, again, similar. And unsurprisingly, the arm that received abiraterone had slightly more transaminitis and hypertension. Again, on-target toxicities that we know and have experienced with abiraterone previously. So how do we place this into context? There's a few ways we can do that. One is to show in display like this of what we have really seen in terms of remarkable recent progress for men with de novo, high volume, metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer. Treatment with ADT alone leads to a survival that has been shown to be approximately 3 years. The addition of chemotherapy has certainly led to advancements in the overall survival benefit, most notably through the CHARTED trial and other analysis. We certainly have data from PIECE 1 for this group now. The addition of abiraterone on its own to ADT leads to a magnitude of benefit somewhere in the 56 month range. And now we can see that adding abiraterone to a backbone of ADT and chemotherapy leads to an approximate median survival of around 61 months. So a fantastic progress when we look at treatment intensification in this setting. One thing to point out, and I'm sure we'll discuss this, is how does this relate to other drugs that were not listed? And certainly we've seen recent data from the apalutamide TITAN study, and again, median still not reached. And even for patients in this trial who received crossover, there's still significant benefit regardless of volume status. And so, you know, certainly there are survival benefits across the spectrum of adding oral targeted therapy to ADT backbone alone. So here were the author's conclusions. I think certainly they're fair that overall survival has been improved by adding abiraterone to a backbone of ADT plus chemotherapy. And this leads to a lifetime gain of about 1.5 year for these men. The suggestion was that this is practice changing data, that at least de novo high volume MCSPC patients should be offered ADT plus docetaxel plus abiraterone. I think comments of offering this triplet certainly are reasonable. I think one thing that still remains to be seen is what the benefit of combining systemic therapy with other local treatments like radiotherapy in this type of population, regardless of volume, will still require further follow-up. In terms of perspectives, I'll offer a few thoughts. I think it certainly does inform the treatment options we can offer these men, again, high volume disease, and specifically of adding abiraterone to the standard of care of ADT plus docetaxel in this subgroup of patient population. And I mention that carefully because this trial does technically not address the potential benefit of adding chemotherapy to ADT plus abiraterone, which again would be a standard of care option. It technically does not address the metachronous disease patient. So this is the patient who, for example, had local therapy prior and has this so-called grumbling recurrent trajectory many years later. That's not really this patient population. And as always, when we see new data that we're excited about, we do want to see reproducibility. So I'll just mention the Arizin's trial is pending readout of looking at ADT plus chemotherapy, plus either placebo or darolutamide for MCSPC patients. And the Enzimet trial, again, a cooperative study looking at enzalutamide in addition to ADT in this setting, did have nearly 44% of patients that received chemotherapy. So will we learn more about the potential utility of having a triplet in this kind of setting as well? So we'll wait for that data as well. I think big picture, it's certainly practice informing, but it does not answer the question as mentioned of building upon a doublet of ADT plus oral targeted therapy. And that's very important because we have copious prospective randomized data about this benefit. Again, the doublet of ADT plus your androgen receptor signaling inhibitor or targeted therapy. Unfortunately, the global rates of treatment intensification, even for these doublets, vary. And there's some data, including North American data, that show only about 13 to 45% of patients worldwide are receiving combination of oral therapy and ADT for MCSPC. And given how tolerable that is for most patients, we certainly need to continue to spread knowledge and hopefully comfort with employing these treatment intensification strategies for more patients. And you know, certainly there may be a select group that can certainly receive triplet therapy. You know, this may not be the global standard tomorrow in clinic. And so I thank you for your time.
Thanks for that excellent summary, Dr. Lalani. I had a few questions sort of building on your big picture ideas and your conclusions that you had. As you alluded to, that you know, these were all de novo metastatic prostate cancer patients, and you know, that's not the same group as those with prior local therapy. So, you know, do you think this does equally apply to patients with prior local therapy? Would you use it in your patients who've had prior local therapy?
I think that's a great question. And I think, you know, it's really important to understand at baseline the difference in disease biology for a man who presents with de novo high volume disease, so-called synchronous type of picture, versus that metachronous treated locally and then recurring later. And we know there's a clear, you know, prognosis difference between that man who unfortunately has recurrent disease many years later. So I would say this trial does not answer that question. And I don't think it's ready for prime time in that patient population who, again, might do very well with hormone injection and perhaps an oral targeted therapy together. So I actually think the message is, let's make sure all of our men with MCSPC, even with that recurrent setting many years later, are receiving the standard of care of treatment intensification.
And to, again, build on one of your thoughts that you had in your conclusions, I'll leave the low volume cohort alone. But if we just think of men with high volume disease, as you alluded to, it doesn't technically answer the question of what you would do in someone receiving an ARAT, whether or not you would add docetaxel on top and layer it on top. So if you had a man who was receiving abiraterone in the high volume metastatic castrate sensitive space, would you be inclined to give that patient docetaxel?
Yeah, I think that's another really great question, one that we'll think about a lot in clinic after seeing this data. You know, I do think that men who are in this setting of high volume disease, it's certainly a consideration upfront to think, can this chemo fit patient? If so, can they receive chemotherapy? And in that situation, I think piece one data can add perhaps another layer, again, if it's a de novo presentation. But again, I would say that this is not the trial to really answer for many men who are receiving ADT plus an oral target therapy like abiraterone. As you say, this is not really the trial that's going to answer layering on six cycles of chemotherapy in that situation. So, you know, certainly we could see what further follow from the other trials I mentioned show, but I don't think that's ready either to now layer a triplet in a kind of downstream chemotherapy setting to the upstream doublet. And I'll just make the plea again that I think, you know, we really need to make sure our men, if they are receiving these oral agents, can receive them in this setting as a standard of care. And we can raise the bar beyond ADT alone.
Well, thanks for that excellent summary and interpretation of the data. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.